Well, good morning, everyone. We will get ready to get started here. Have a long way to go and a short time to get there. Would you sing it for us, Pam? Who does sing that? I know the song. Something, yeah. All right, well, let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you that we live in Colorado. We thank you for our country, that we can meet in this wonderful building to study your word, and especially today to more deeply understand what's going on in the world, especially over in Israel. Bless our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we're going to, in adult Bible study, we're going to talk about, mainly, we'll talk about Islam, some of the roots of what's going on. We're going to touch on the real root of what's going on over with Hamas and everything. But we're going to talk about that more in depth in the sermon, because we Christians should understand the spiritual root, not just the symptoms that we see on the news and land, peace, occupation, you know, all that stuff. People talk about that, and, you know, Palestinians, who are they? We're going to talk about that more in depth, but we need to understand the root cause of all this and all the talking heads and even some, you know, commentators or podcasters that I really respect. Like, have you heard of Ben Shapiro? Have you heard of Dennis Prager? See, those guys, they have it 95% right, but they're not Christians. They ultimately don't understand the spiritual root of what's going on. So anyway, let me give you a quote here, or let me look at that. The New York Times, look what those Israelis did. Look at that. Can you believe that? Lousy Israel. Israel, we need to stop funding Israel. If I went to Harvard, I'd be protesting Israel. But you guys know this. This was on the front page of the Gray Lady, supposedly one of the most respected news platforms in the world. And this picture showed up. Have you heard the term Pallywood? You've heard of Hollywood, where a lot of filth is made. You've heard of Dollywood, where Indian filth is made. This is Pallywood, the Palestinian propaganda. And so Pallywood, this type of twisting of the facts influences a lot of people that don't know any better. And so, first of all, I mean, by now we all know that it was a Islamic Jihad rocket that misfired, and up to one-fifth of their rockets do misfire and kill their own people. And this picture, look at the devastation. That's not even the hospital. That's a building down in South Gaza City. So, you know, news organizations, you know, listen to the experts in the Palestinian Ministry of Health. Well, Hamas, they print without thinking what Hamas says, and this picture. And so it looks bad, and those Israelis, look at all those innocent people that have been killed. And this is all a fictitious lie. This is symptomatic of the, you know, the conditions of what's going on over there. And so the Pallywood, think of that propaganda. In fact, our news, my opinion, our news is getting to be Pallywood. I mean, you know, just, and with AI coming, I would suspect us older folks, seasoned citizens, do not believe at first blush pictures, because they will, you know, oh, but I saw a picture. What they can do with AI, that is really getting dangerous. That's going to have ramifications going forward. So, yes.
Indoctrinating their children to believe what they chose, and it's the same
Exactly. And we're going to talk about that. If you guys are still interested, we're going to talk more about that next week or the week after, if you're interested. But how you raise kids, and so especially in what's going on now, how little kids, I saw an Al Jazeera program, if you know Al Jazeera, okay, it's, Muslim propaganda, we'll say. And they have a kids show with a copycat of Mickey Mouse. And Mickey Mouse comes out, it's a little kids program. And this mouse teaches the kids how to blow themselves up so they can get those Jews. A kids program. Okay, so that sort of expresses or is a reflection of this sentiment. Remember this guy, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, I can't say it. He was the president or the prime president of Iran back when Ayatollah Khomeini. So this is an older quote, but reflects, anybody who recognizes Israel will burn in the fire of the Islamic nation's fury. Okay, that's the sentiment. And that's what we're seeing on news. And so this, I would say, it's irrational Jew hatred. And then what's really sad, like Susie said, our privileged Cornell and Harvard students are spouting this nonsense. I thought those were supposed to be good school. Yeah. And they formed a Muslim, Islamist Muslim, SS brigade. And they, one of the things was he wanted Hitler's help when Rommel got through Egypt, the Battle of El Alamein. You want some history? Let's talk history for a while. But if Hitler's armies had gotten into the Middle East, the Grand Mufti wanted Hitler's help in exterminating and taking over the land. And that's, we'll talk more about the land, just give them a state. We'll talk about that. Just since you brought it up, when George and I studied in Israel, I knew the Grand Mufti, the current one. And so we got to see underneath the Al-Aqsa Mosque, some of the, the Dome of the Rock, and I'm blanking. Al-Aqsa Mosque, and the whole Temple Mount is considered Al-Aqsa Mosque, the Dome of the Rock, but the actual Al-Aqsa Mosque is underneath what used to be Solomon's Stables. What am I blanking? Not a synagogue. What do Muslims do? Go to? Minar Mosque, yep. When you get as old as I am. But don't make me shake my cane at you. But we got to see some of this because we had a good relationship. And at least on the outside, you can see them being nice, especially to Western visitors and Christians. But deep down in their hearts, I guarantee you, he was wanting to get rid of all the Jews. So. I will talk about that in just a minute. Yeah, that's the name of the operation, Al-Aqsa Flood. And why is Al-Aqsa and one of the militant groups of the fighters for some of these terrorist groups, Hamas and Bill's Hezbollah. Bill's a card-carrying member of Hezbollah. Did you know? From Lebanon, but Al-Quds, we'll talk about that in just a minute. Why is Al-Aqsa and Jerusalem so important? So, all right, first of all, Scott, would you look up 2 Chronicles 2:16? Kelvin, would you look up Nehemiah 2, 19 and 20. And Janet, would you look up Nehemiah 6, 1 through 8? So this was Mahmud Ahmadinejad. And if you guys remember, if you can remember far enough back, I do, you probably don't. 79, the revolution in Iran, and Ayatollah Khomeini, he coined the phrase Great Satan and Little Satan. The U.S. was the Great Satan, Israel was the Little Satan, and Russia, or the Soviet Union back there, was the Lesser Satan. I sort of like that, but why are we the Great Satan? I mean, obviously we're a decadent Western society and, you know, our women don't wear proper clothes and all that stuff. That's understandable. But what is the root of connecting us that if, you know, they want to get us as, you know, as well as Israel? So Scott, a couple verses. Would you read 2 Chronicles 21, verse 16? Sorry. Hurry up, man. Come on. My misspeaking is your fault. I'm
sorry, I didn't understand.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's where our culture is. Well, that's what I meant. Just 16.
Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and the Arabians who were near the Ethiopians.
Okay, so just that one verse, history of Jehoram was one of the bad kings of Israel, but you know God's in control. But the Philistines, ancient enemies of Israel, and the Arabians. So the Bible talks about the Arabians as a people in the Arabian Peninsula. But those the Arabians. So even back then, you saw some conflict that was against Israel. Nehemiah 2, 19 and 20. Did you look up 21?
But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobit the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is this you were doing, they asked. Are you rebelling against the king? I answered them, saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim on historic right.
Okay, and then Janet, would you read?
6:1-8.
Correct.
Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not yet come to the doors and the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, saying, come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers saying, I am doing great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave and go down to you? But they sent me this message 4 times, and I answered them in the same manner. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before, the 5th time, with an open letter in his hand. It was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall. You may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets who proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent to him, saying, no such things as you are saying are being done, but you invent them in your own heart.
If they had the BBC back then, the BBC would proclaim that. But you know the history. Nehemiah, under the Persian Empire, so he's the great king, Cyrus, back then, and then later Artaxerxes, but Israel was, a conquered people, but Nehemiah was petitioned to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And those characters, Sanballat, the Horonites, I won't get into all that, but Geshem, I like it, his name means rain, just a wet blanket. Geshem the Arab, are opposing what Nehemiah is doing. And then, well, come on, just talk to us. Let's have a ceasefire. And you come down here to this little place on Own or whatever it's called. And Nehemiah recognized it said they meant to do him harm. You know, we're going to stop this work any way we can. Then we're going to accuse them of, well, you're just trying to set up your own kingdom and build your own, you know, walled city and rebel against a king. We're all for our king, Cyrus, or Artaxerxes. And so, you know, the propaganda and these verses just to sort of hint that even in biblical times, Old Testament times, this stuff, the enemies of Israel. And if you're Genesis 16 and 17, I'm not going to read it, but that's a story of Genesis 16. Remember, Sarah was barren. And so then, And so Sarah said, well, go into my handmaiden, Abram, and, you know, bear a child because we need, you know, to have a son. Very important in that culture to have, especially sons. And so Abraham said, okay. And then Sarah got mad at him for going into her. It was your idea. But Ishmael was born. And Genesis 16 and verse 10. The angel of the Lord, probably a theophany, a pre-incarnate, appearing of Christ or God, but the angel of the Lord, very powerful figure, said verse 10, the angel of the Lord said to Sarah, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude. So in the midst of this human trying to help God out by having sons, God's still blessing, you know, the disobedience of Abraham for doing what he did to Sarah. Lousy Abraham. And so Ishmael is born, and of course, then she was in go to Genesis 17. Okay, just look at verse 8, so this is throughout, especially Genesis, talking to Abram that you tried to do this on your own, but you know he's 100 years old. God says you will have a descendant through Sarah. You know, Sarah's 90 years old, and she's going to bear a son, the promised son, Isaac. But look at verse 8, and also I give you the land, give you and your descendants after you all the land of Canaan. The land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be your God. So just that's one verse, but there's lots of verses that God promising the land to the promised seed, the descendants of Abraham, who are what people? The Jewish people. See, but then also you can see that some of the confusion or that will lead into the conflict at this level. Ishmael is also a descendant of Abraham. And Christians, we are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. So Judaism, Islam, Christianity, we all trace our roots back, and we all look with favor on Abraham. Okay, verse 19 in Genesis 17. And God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. Verse 20. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. So there's a promise for Ishmael. So, yeah.
So Abraham and his descendants, they weren't called Jews.
Well, the names, you know, they were the Hebrews. But later on, they became known as Jews from the greatest tribe, 12 tribes. The greatest one was Judah. So Jew, as most scholars believe, is a offtake somehow related to Judah. The, you know, Judah was the, remember at the end of Genesis when is it Joseph is blessing the sons, not Joseph, but Jacob is blessing his sons. Judah is the one from which the royal seed is going to come. So I want to be one of the in the royal line. So, you know, that's in the diaspora when all the 10 tribes just, you know, were scattered. Judah and Simeon were the two that made up Israel at the time, and they took the name Judah. And then from that, we get Jews. So beyond our scope here, but that's good. That's, see that, you know, history and all. And all that is related to what's going on. So, and also in Genesis, remember Abraham and Lot? Where did Lot go? Where did he want to go with, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah? And you know what happened there? And the destruction. And then what did his daughter do? If you remember that, this is a sad tale, but how God, you know, God, grace is bigger than our sin. Yeah.
Who was the descendant of Abraham that was the Muslims? Was that Ishmael?
Well, Ishmael, they look back. We're going to get that. We may not get there today, but because I'm talking too much. But when we talk about Islam and how they view, they like Abraham. They like Jesus. They just don't know the truth about him. And so, but one of the sons of Ishmael, he's going to have 12 sons. If you go back, all those genealogies, you always go, why do we have to read those? Those are very important. So, for example, is it Genesis 5, you know, from Adam, you know, Methuselah, those are called vertical genealogies to show passage through time. Then in Genesis 9 and or 10 and 11, you get what are called horizontal genealogies to show relationships between families. And we'll get more of that in the sermon. But then we narrow it down to Abraham's branch of the family, which is under Shem. You know, Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The Jews come from out of Shem. So, but, one of the sons of Geshem was also called Geshmu, and his name was found on an inscription, Egypt, on a silver vessel. But he was called the king of Kedar. Kedar was one of Ishmael's sons. And so that family, that's where a lot of this has come from. That's Genesis 25:13. He was the second son of Ishmael. So all that to say, this has been going on biblically. Even in the Bible, we see a lot of conflict. Where does this conflict come from? Why? And throughout the Bible, we see this, and we're going to talk a lot more about it in the sermon. But today, I'll just skirt it over it. Genesis 3:15, we'll talk about that later, but that's way back, right after the fall. That's the where God is pronouncing the curses on the serpent, who we know as Satan, and the battle between the seeds, that the serpent seed will be in constant conflict with the woman seed. And so then all of the rest of Genesis, all those genealogies, who's the seed of the woman? Well, all the Israelites, and who's the greatest Israelite? Greatest Israelite, the descendant of the Jews? Sounds like a squirrel, but the answer must be Jesus, the lion of the tribe of Judah. So Satan has been after the seed since the beginning of time. We'll talk about that more later, but But so it's ultimately a spiritual problem. So this, all the stuff we see in this is symptoms. And talking heads, once again, are good at talking about, oh, the land, if there's, you know, the pictures of the hospital. But it comes down to what some theologians have called the cosmic conflict, you know, battle of good and evil throughout history, because Satan wants to destroy the seed. You know, the Jewish people, and guess where Christianity comes from? Why do you think they don't like us very well? Why do you think we're the great Satan, as they call it? Because we support Israel, just secular America, but as Christians, we are descendants, spiritual descendants of Abraham. So the enemy, you know, we'll go through this later, but the enemy is, you know, the serpent, Satan. The fall, we talk, you know, I heard a guy once say that sin is worse than we think it is. That's where that comes from, the fall. And then the seed, we're going to trace that more during the sermon. What is the seed? A lot of your more modern translations say offspring. So the offspring of the woman starts with Eve, but the offspring of the woman and the offspring of the serpent, you know, which is more metaphorical. We'll talk about that. Diana. Ishmael. Oh, and I'm sorry, by the way. So what did Lot do with his daughters had sons. What were the names? Ammon and Lot. Or no, not Moab. Thank you. Yeah, and that's modern Jordan. And they were also enemies of Israel. But the descendants of, we're going to get to it, Islam. Look back to Ishmael. Ishmael. Muslims, Ishmael. Abraham. With Sarah's handmaid. That's what we just read. Yeah, so this is what we're going to cover later. And then, yes. And also Esau, Jacob and Esau, they were roommates. And so where does Esau from? That's over in modern Jordan and stuff, where his descendants were. So there's a lot of family trees that go back to biblical times. Okay, so we'll be dealing with this. And you can read all those genealogies in Genesis 11. When you get to Genesis 12, now we get the start of, we focused in on Abraham's family through Shem. And now the Abrahamic covenant, we'll talk about this later, but out of that covenant comes the land, a seed, a people, the Jewish people ultimately, and a blessing. And so we're going to talk about that more in depth. That's all it's going to cover now, but we'll get into that later. And then also we'll look at, you know, even in the future, some future oppression of the Jewish people. And, you know, if you've heard of the sheep and goat judgment in Matthew 25, and then also we'll talk about God's promise to preserve the Jews. So if you're still interested, we'll look at some of the wars and battles, you know, the more secular history, and how God has preserved the Jewish people many times throughout history. Okay, so any questions? We'll get through a little bit of this. I'm not going to teach you to become good Muslims, but I think we need to understand some of their beliefs. Any questions? So Islam, the history, way back early, you get was a split. Well, they're called the Sunni and the Shiites. And I bring that up now just because somebody asked a question. By the way, those cards, write down questions, put them in the basket. And you could put checks to me out there if you want to write me checks. You can put those in. But the how Hamas and Hezbollah are related. You know, see, Bill's an ally with Hamas because he's with Hezbollah. Sorry, Bill, I shouldn't kid about that probably. But how are they related? Well, first of all, they are from two separate branches of Islam. So a little primer here on. You've heard of the PLO, the Palestine Liberation Organization, founded back in 64. And remember the little Yasser Arafat, you know, he just looked like a, I'm trying to be nice. But remember Yasser Arafat. Well, he was founded, a lot of his funding came from the Soviet Union as a way to get secular politics into the Middle East. But then that's when they became the, it was recognized in 64 as the sole legitimate representative of the Palestinian people by the United Nations. And I don't know if any of you remember when Yasser Arafat, with a pistol on, spoke at the United Nations. And you know, the United States has always considered them to be terrorists. But a lot of countries, you know, give them legitimacy and they still have observer status. That is sort of the umbrella organization. The Palestine Liberation Organization. And then another organization out of Egypt, which predates that. Have you heard of the Muslim Brotherhood? Okay, back in 1928, it's the largest political opposition in many Arab countries, but it was founded for political, social, you know, encourage Muslim study. It's a Sunni organization, I'll describe the differences, but the more moderate Muslims. So it had a lot of social, economic things, but their credo was and is, Allah is our objective. Allah, you know who Allah is, that fictitious god, moon god. The Quran is our law. The Prophet is our leader. Jihad is our way, and death for the sake of Allah is the highest of our aspirations. So that gets into suicide bombers, how you can go. We'll talk about heaven or paradise, and one way they get in automatically is to blow yourself up in jihad.
Looking back at the Palestinian people, they all
we're going to talk about that. Yeah. Just spoiler alert, there's no such thing as a Palestinian people. And spoiler alert, well, when you go through some of the history, Palestine was the name given by Hadrian, the Emperor Hadrian, the Roman Emperor, back in 135, when the Jews revolted for the second major time. Yeah, those Jews are awfully stiff-necked. They believed their God was the only God, and they didn't want to play along with emperor worship. And so the Bar Kokhba revolt in 135 AD, or for Kelvin, CE. And they destroyed Israel. They renamed Israel Palestine, and that comes from, what do you think? The word Philistines, sort of a snub against the Jews. They're arch enemies. The Philistine, we're going to name your land. It's going to be a province of Rome, Palestine. And they named the capital. How do you pronounce the capital? Ilia Capitolina. You know, and they forbid, you know, there's no temple. It had been destroyed 65 years earlier in the revolt with Titus. And Vespasian, Solomon, the glorious Herod's temple had been destroyed. But so there's no more Jewish temple. And there was it would be a temple to the emperor worship. So really rubbing the Jews' faces in it. That's where the term Palestinians began. Okay. Some kissing cousins here. Have you heard of the Palestinian Authority? So they were established to govern in the West Bank and Gaza. Israel, you know, held sort of foreign policy and military security, but they allowed some self-government and allowed the Palestinian Authority to control internal affairs. And so now it's named the Palestinian National Authority or the State of Palestine. See that once again, the land and the State of Palestine, you know, Philistines. And so in 2006, in Gaza, the Palestinian Authority was what's called the West Bank, that's Judea and Samaria. The West Bank, which was part of Jordan, and the Gaza Strip, which was part of Egypt, they had elections, and Hamas won the election in Gaza. So that's why Hamas, to this day, is the quasi, they are the rulers, you know, they're a bunch of terrorists, but they are the political authority in Gaza. Fatah, which is, you know, that it looks like Jabba the Hutt to me. Mahmoud Abbas, our illustrious Secretary of State, just went, you know, Blinken went and sat down with him and met with Mahmoud Abbas. He's the head of the Palestinian Authority in what's called the West Bank. But now Hamas rules in Gaza. And Mahmoud Abbas, his party's called Fatah. FATAH, and it's a terrorist group, no kidding, founded in Kuwait and originally by Yasser Arafat. It's the largest faction that came out of the PLO, but they weren't violent enough for Hamas, so that's why Hamas split off them. And Fatah is a reverse acronym for the Arabic conquest by means of jihad. So you got to love it. Our name says it all. It's conquest by means of jihad. Now we'll just cover these, then we'll have to save the rest for it. That's two Sundays from now. I'm gonna give you more maps if you're even interested. Maybe you're not interested. But now we're getting to the main players, and we'll have to quit here before we actually get into the history of Islam. This is the introduction to Islam. But Hamas, it is an acronym for the Islamic Resistance Movement. Hamas is Sunni. We'll talk more about that, but Sunni are the more moderate, you know, as far as a branch of Islam, they are the more moderate branch. It was formed in 1987 as the Palestinians, so in Israel, Palestine area, of the Muslim Brotherhood. So what started back in the 1920s in Egypt with social, but they were too peaceful. I mean, they were feeding widows and orphans. How dare those Muslim Brotherhoods? And so they wanted, Hamas is an offshoot that we're going to be the Muslim Brotherhood's really violent branch in Palestine. So they are specifically in I'll use the word if you know what I mean, but Palestine. So, and they are committed to the destruction of Israel. No kidding. And they carry out terrorist operations all over Israel, Jordan, and any moderate Arab country. See, why do these Arab countries like Qatar and the UAE, why won't they condemn what's happened? Well, because some of these terrorist organizations will assassinate, you know, and cause terror in these, you're not being, you know, you're not down for the cause. And so they, well, we'll talk about it, but if you remember, Anwar Sadat in Egypt, after one of the wars, and we're going to talk about that, but he was killed by the Muslim Brotherhood because he was too moderate, and he made peace with Israel after the Six-Day War. You can't make peace with the Jews. So they killed him. But in their charter, their, you know, their official charter, there is no solution to the Palestinian problem except by jihad. The initiatives, proposals, and international conferences are but a waste of time, an exercise in futility. So we're not going to negotiate. You know, jihad is the only way. Okay, so that's Hamas. They are Sunni. Now Hezbollah is also known as the Party of God. Party of God, it's a radical Shiite, the other branch of Islam, based in southern Lebanon. They live next door to Bill's relatives. But they control the politics, don't they? See, they've become a, what's called a state within a state. They, you know, the Hezbollah and Syria really control a lot of what goes on in Lebanon. That's such a nice country that's just been destroyed. And so initially they were devoted when Israel invaded in 1982 to try to clean out terrorist cells. So they initially were formed to try to get rid of the Jews out of Lebanon, but it's morphed into, now they engage in terror for the destruction of Israel. You know, like I said, a state within a state. They were the ones, remember the news in 1983, the Marine barracks in Beirut. Hezbollah was the ones that blew up our Marine barracks and the UN peacekeepers. They get their military training, their weapons, and their money from Iran, who we are giving money to. So U.S. is paying Iran, Iran is paying Hezbollah. And the political power comes from Syria. So Hamas is Sunni, Hezbollah is Shia. They are radical, you know, they have some major differences we'll talk about next week if you're interested. But they're unified in what purpose? Israel. You know, they will, there's destruction of Israel. Yeah, Laura. Well, yeah, yes, in the sense of, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So they don't like each other, but they like each other when we're attacking Israel. And so the concern now is Hamas has launched how many rockets, you know, which have been paid for by Iran ultimately too, even though it's not direct. You know, Iran will fund anybody that's attacking Israel, but the concern is Hezbollah, if they start firing all their rockets, they have, somebody said, I think I read somewhere, like 100,000. And so even while what's been going on in the news with Gaza, as the Israeli army has to keep some troops up north because Hezbollah is taking advantage of the situation and attacking across the border. Hezbollah, because Iran is a Shiite theocracy. We'll talk about that next time. But they will also provide money to Hamas. Qatar is providing a lot of support to Hamas. And the leader, have you seen the pictures? You know, the destruction in Gaza. And the leader of Hamas, he's living in a penthouse in Qatar. Yeah, you guys kill yourselves for the sake of the party as he's eating lunch. You know, and he, in fact, he said, our children and our women need to sacrifice blood for the cause. Meanwhile, he's living the high life. You mean this is just, okay, yes.
Isn't that this attitude by the Shiites and Sunnis and all that part of the reason, or maybe the real reason, why the Arabs, rather than the surrounding countries, don't want to migrate?
Well, they don't want trouble. That's 2 weeks from now. But yeah, you know, to us, it's like, well, if you're so concerned, why don't you take the people in? And that's a lot of the history of what's happened with how Israel came to be as an actual country. And, you know, how many Jews were kicked out of their countries. They moved to Israel. They were accepted. There were some Arabs. The Jews begged the Arabs to stay because Israel is a secular state. But it is one of the most pluralistic. You know, there are Arabs in the Knesset, their parliament. They begged them to stay, but the Arab governments, just using Arab general, told them, nope, you leave, and we're going to get you your country back. The poor Palestinian, quote unquote, people are being used as tools for a bigger agenda. And they're probably not too stupid. You think Egypt wants all the Hamas and them in their country? See, that's they know what a headache that would be. So let's keep them as a cause, and we can claim Israel as an occupying power and all that. So let me just finish up this, and then sorry we're a little late. It's Calvin's fault. So they are united in the hatred for the seed. So we're going to talk about more, but Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, the seed of the serpent, the hatred for the seed of the woman, the Jewish people culminating in Christ, and by extension, God's people, Christians. So that's how we get drawn in. Oh, here, let me show you. Can you believe what this guy says? That wasn't him. That's in the Quran. Surah 47. Therefore, when you meet the unbelievers, which are Jews, Christians, anybody, when you meet them in fight, smite their necks at length. When ye have thoroughly subdued them, bind a bond firmly on them. And so there are the Muslim world looks at the world. There are two kinds of people. There are Dar al-Islam, the house of Islam, peace. That's where Muslims are firmly in control. That, like, Iran would be part of Dar al-Islam because Islam overtly controls everything. But then there's also Dar al-Harb. Dar al-Harb, can't say it. But the house of war. And that's, you know, peaceful countries that have not been entirely subdued by Islam. And that's the West, and that's Sunni countries. You know, so that's why we are part of the house of war. The overall stated purpose then would be, ultimately, we need to be conquered by true believers. That's why, you know, you've seen those bumper stickers for Afghanistan vets, infidels. We are the infidels. And that's the ultimate purpose. You know, how they're going to do it, I don't know. But Dar is an Arabic word that means to surround. It's a house or an estate. So Dar al-Islam. Islam means submission or peace. And Dar al-Karb. And we won't turn there for the sake of time, but Deuteronomy 13 talks about how you recognize a prophet. And a prophet who predicts things that don't come to pass or speaks against what God has revealed is a false prophet. So, you know, Deuteronomy 13, Deuteronomy 18 are important passages for God's true prophets, but there are false prophets. And so that's why we'll turn to next week. A false prophet, according to the truth, is a guy named Muhammad. And we will talk more about him. So just the final truth. In his war against the seed, the overall war against the seed, Satan uses false religion, like Islam, to combat God's people. So why is Islam at war with us? Well, that's the fact. And we've seen the root of that. Now we'll talk a little bit on that next week, if you're interested. Are you guys, you want to talk about that a little more? Okay. Final question? Sorry, I kept you a little long. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. And as we look more deeply, the Abrahamic covenant, thank you, God, that you are a God who keeps your covenant with people, your people, even when they are disobedient, even when we are sinners, your grace is greater than our sin. Thank you for this time, for our good discussion, and help us to look with spiritual eyes at what's going on in this world. We give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.